Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Always honored to have you listening. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real, active, involved presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this: God promises to finish the good work He began in us, but that doesn't come without bumps in the road. Life can be hard, faith can wane, and distractions abound. Too many today are at risk of compromising their integrity or giving up on their faith. So how can we persevere to the end? Trillia Newbell joins me today to talk about her insightful book, Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. Beautiful book. We've got 5 copies to give away. I would love to get a copy into your hands. You can text if you want to get in on the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a little link reply, and that you just take a minute, and that's how you enter the drawing. Again, I just got to say, we do that because we want to give resources away every single day. That's one of our commitments on Middays. We just got so many good books to get into the hands of you, our dear friends, but we don't have the staff to manually enter these addresses every single day and keep up with the output. So in order to continue on, we need your help. It takes a minute for you. Otherwise, it's many hours for us, and we just don't have the staff for it. So hopefully you'll have grace and patience. You want in on the drawing? Text the word book, 877-933-2484. And if you have questions or comments along the way, you can sure text those in on a separate text. You can also email middays@myfaithradio.com. And we have a live show that airs all over the Upper Midwest and in Connecticut. But our podcast audience, because our live show goes to podcast immediately after, within an hour, you'll see our podcast up there, is growing by leaps and bounds. We've got friends from all over the world who tune in. In fact, a lot of these podcast listeners don't even know that it's actually a live radio show. They think it's just a podcast platform, which I don't mind. I don't mind at all. But I want you to know, if you've not subscribed to the podcast, you never have to miss a show again. Just go to your favorite podcast player, search my name or Middays with Susie Larson. It'll come up there. We're starting to give books away to our podcast listeners as well, not just on the live show. Good news, right? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Trillia Newbell is Director of Community Outreach for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. Her writings have been published in Knoxville News, Sentinel, Desiring God, True Women, and Christianity Today. She's also commentator for World Radio. It's a sister platform for World Magazine. She's spoken at many conferences and churches and women's events. She's married to her best friend, Thurn, and they reside with their 2 children near Nashville. And Trillia, we should have had you on a long time ago, but welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to the conversation. Trillia, I know you love God's Word, and I'm wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
I do love God's Word, and right now I am in Isaiah because I do this every December. I just sit in the book of Isaiah. And so something that has just been on my heart is Isaiah 9:6, which we all know, for to us a child is born, to us is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And just pondering that this baby would grow and walk perfectly for us, and that the government would be on his shoulders, and he would be a mighty God, Prince of Peace, die on a cross, bearing the wrath we deserve, and rise victoriously. So I've just been thinking about Jesus, and I'm so grateful for his word in this text in Isaiah.
Beautiful. We as a staff at Faith Radio have been walking through the Gospel of Luke, reading a chapter a day. So I've been thinking a lot about Jesus as well. And I look at how he was, how he treated, you know, the person at the bottom of the pile, how he treated the person the world disregarded, and how he was really tough on the Pharisees. You know, he's so tender with those who knew they needed help, knew they needed a Savior, but he was tough on those who didn't think they did, you know, and who shunned everybody else. I just, you follow him through the Gospels, you just love how he is, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's convicting. It's encouraging. And for a woman, it's really comforting because he loved everyone who would believe, and he loved everyone. But it's just as you look at the tender way that he treated women and engaged with the women around him, I think it's an encouragement and it's delightful to know that we have a savior like that.
Mm-hmm. And really, that was countercultural. Treating women the way he did in that culture was turning the culture on its heels. Another aspect to his character was humility wasn't a celebrated virtue back then either. Ego was. And so for him to be strong and steadfast and humble, he really did turn the world upside down on so many levels, didn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he is, he didn't fear challenging the world and the assumptions of the world. And yet he walked perfectly. So he did all of these things perfectly. And we can't, we can emulate, we can try, but he did, and he did it perfectly. And so I'm so grateful for that example of a savior who walked humbly, who challenged the world and did it without sinning, perfect. And so I'm thankful for Jesus, who's interceding for us even now.
Amen. Well, I would love a little backstory on your faith journey, how you came to Jesus, when you sensed the call of God on your life.
Yeah, so I became a Christian as an adult. I was 22, and when I was 19, I was in a private camp with a young lady, and I was leading the camp, and we happened to be in this camp together, and she, I'll never forget her. We were staying in the same room, and she was sitting on a bed and opened up her Bible, and I immediately got defensive and was like, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm having a quiet time." And the next thing you know, I'm sitting on her bed confessing sin. She's sharing the gospel with me. Wow. But I was in a relationship with someone and didn't want to give that relationship up that I knew I would need to. And I also was just fearful and didn't want to submit to the Lord. So it took 2 years, two broken engagements before I gave my life to the Lord. And so I went to church, and you know that hymn, Rock of Ages?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a verse in it that says, "Wash me, Savior, or I'll die." And I knew at that moment that I needed Jesus, that I had a spiritual death, and I needed that washing of the Lord. And he saved me right there. And to make a really long story short, he, a few years later, I invited that guy who with the broken engagement to church, and he became a Christian. A year later, he asked me to date. I said no. A year after that, he asked again. I said yes. We've been married for 16 years.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So the Lord redeemed us and reconciled us, which isn't everyone's story, but it is ours, and we're grateful for it.
Well, Trillia, your book, Sacred Endurance, it's about perseverance. You're not the only perseverer in that marriage. I'm telling you, your hubby had some kind of vision for I'm hanging in there with this girl.
I mean, I know. Yes, and he is an example today of just faithfulness, endurance, and I'm so grateful for him and for his long suffering with me.
Beautiful. Well, I learned this. I mean, I've known about you for a long time, and you and I've been getting to know each other. I just learned it as I was digging into your book that you also worked in the fitness industry for a lot of years. We worked in very similar planes and realms, and we both see a lot of parallels between our physical fitness and health and our spiritual fitness. You read scripture about endurance and perseverance. You can't mature without perseverance and endurance, and you can't persevere or endure if you don't have something that's opposing you. So I want you to talk about just how this book, Sacred Endurance, was born in your heart and why you need to make the case for it.
Yes. Well, not just the idea of physical fitness. Around me, I am seeing, and I think we've all seen in the church, and I'm speaking mostly in the American church, a almost despairing and a lack of endurance. There seems to be something I've seen in the last couple of years, a lot of confusion. And so that was one of the reasons, just in my own heart, I could feel that same pull of confusion and trying to understand what the Lord was doing in the American church. But then also, just in this age, in our kind of middle age range, I'm seeing marriages falling apart, people leaving the faith, or denouncing it publicly maybe even, and people trying to figure out what to do when their child just decides to walk away or rebel. It's sickness and increase of that. So there's a lot going on in this age of kind of the 30s, 40s, 50, middle age, where we need to endure. So I wrote this not from the perspective of someone who has endured, but as someone who is enduring, because I did see the need. I saw the need in my friends. I saw the need in my own heart to continue to run this race faithfully and to finish well. And so what does it look like in suffering? What does it look like in challenging circumstances? What does it look like in joy, times of peace? Because those can be challenging even if we don't realize it, because we can become complacent. So what does it look like to continue to pursue God in this life when circumstances are confusing, or even when they are not? And because we all need to persevere until the end. Mm-hmm. And that's my hope, is that this book will encourage us and challenge us where needed to keep running the race, knowing that we have our Savior who is running with us and carrying us along the way.
Amen. You know, the passage, I think it's in Hebrews, but it says, take a new grip with your tired hands, strengthen your weak knees, mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are, I think those who are watching, if I remember right, those who are nearer and those who are watching may not, the weak and the lame who are watching may not grow weary and fall out of the race. I completely butchered that passage, but the point of it is, when we strengthen our weak knees, when we mark out a path because we are saying, I'm going to be immovable, I'm not quitting, those who are lame and weary and weak around us are watching us, and our faith and our grit and perseverance inspires them to rise up and not quit. So oftentimes we think we live on an island, and we think, this just affects me. It never is true. As a Christian, we're in this together. So when we come back, Trilly, I want you to talk about what's at stake. Why do we need to persevere? What's at stake if we don't? If we sort of just kind of lose heart, go on auto cruise or whatever, what are the implications of that? Why does this matter? Talking to Trilia Newbell today, her book, Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. We want that, don't we? We've got 5 copies, thanks to IVP and Varsity Press. Thanks so much for those great gifts. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you get questions or comments for the conversation, separate text altogether, same number, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Trillia Newbell about her book, Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. And that bumper song from Audrey Assad, I'm still drawn to you. I just love that song. I want you to just think about that. If you're tired and weary, so often, I know this has been the case for me over the years, when I hit that point where I'm disillusioned, I'm exhausted, think about what God did for a few of the prophets in Scripture. Take a nap and get something to eat. Sometimes that's what you need. If you are completely worn out, you're losing perspective. You know what happens? You start to take shortcuts and you get exhausted. And that's when people fall down and make choices they never otherwise would. Maybe today, if you're just that exhausted, get some naps, schedule some sleep time, do something that's good for your soul, spend time with the Lord, and eat some good food. Anyway, Trilly, I want you to talk, if you would, about the implications of us not taking this message seriously, because Scripture is very clear about persevering, about learning to endure, being immovable, steadfast. It's not always easy, but we're called to it. So what are the implications if we don't heed this high invitation?
Well, the ultimate implication is an eternal one. And so we want to finish this race well, because we're going to face our God and give an account. We're going to give an account for our life, give an account for our words, give an account for our deeds. And so I think sometimes we forget that fact that we actually will face our Maker. And so I think it's important that we remember and have a healthy fear of the Lord in regards to our walk, because we will face Him, and we will. Now, here's one of the things that I just want to encourage your listeners with, is that Christ will hold us fast. He promises to finish the good work he began. So if we know this God, if we have placed our faith in Jesus, he is going to finish that good work. And I believe we can have confidence in that. What we want to not do is, I think, take this fact for granted, or as Paul says, sin so that grace may increase. So we want to be take our faith seriously. We want to, what's the saying, with fear and trembling? Work out our faith with fear and trembling. That's the scripture. And so I think that is one of the things that, especially, I'm going to speak for as a Southern. I live in the South. There's sometimes that I think we can be culturally good and spiritually dead.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think I can see that. We can do all the good things, but yet not what kind of go through the motions. And so we want to remember that an end is nearer than we think, and we will give an account, and therefore take it seriously while resting in the fact that God promises to finish that good work. So we work, we run, right? Run this race with endurance while fixing our eyes on Jesus. So we rest in that finished work, rest in him, but yet they're still running. We still have work to do. And so I think we just need to take that seriously. And that is where I would say some of us struggle, is to take our faith seriously and not just to go through the motions.
Well, this is one of the things truly that gets me out of bed every day. So our listeners are very well versed on the Day of Account, because it's really one of my deep motivations is to help get the church ready to meet Jesus, because it's alarming to me, as scripture says, that some will pass, their work will pass through the flames, nothing to show for it, as if they themselves are barely escaping the flames. So they're saved with nothing to show for it, saying basically they're living like practical atheists. And when we see the goodness of God and the glory of God and the smile that goes up to his eyes and the heart of God, you know there'll be that moment where we think, I wished I would have given him everything. If I would have known this, I would have given him all, and I would have lived like all of his promises are true. Well, that's one of the reasons this show exists and why I love your message so much. You know, at the open of the show, we were talking about the parallels between our physical health and our spiritual health, that there's opposition at times. There's high climbing. There's times of rest. All those parallels. But as you say in the book, there is a point where the analogy drops off, in that when you're in fitness, you're drawing from every ounce of strength that you physically have. Well, in the spiritual realm, you're drawing from the strength of the Lord. So make the distinction between the two in that regard.
Yeah, well, you just did it actually beautifully. There is I was a fitness instructor. I have never run a marathon. My husband is a marathon runner, and there's something about it where you're running and you have to train, you have to build your muscles. It's very similar to the race of faith. So one of the ways that, I'm just going to give an example, that if you struggle with condemnation, one of the ways you're going to fight that is by reminding yourself of the gospel. Eventually, if you're continuing to build that gospel muscle, you're going to fight the temptation quicker and easier. The difference is that we are in physical fitness. Obviously, God gives gifts, right? So there are going to be some that are going to be more gifted, but we're typically doing it on our own strength for the most part. We're learning how to work these muscles. We're enduring. We're going to only get so far. But in the Lord, we have His resources never end. He is forever and always for us. He is never against us. He is always and forever available to us. And so we can draw from him forever. We're never going to exhaust him. We are never going to, he's not going to grow weary. We will grow weary, but he will not. And so we can lean on him. And it is remarkable to think that he does not grow tired or weary. And so we want to continue to cast our burdens onto him, to run to him who can actually carry our burdens where we can't carry them. So when we are thinking about perseverance in the faith, I want to persevere with that kind of strength, knowing that the strength that doesn't run out. And so there is a difference, because we will grow old, we will grow frail, our bodies will fail us, but God is an everlasting Father. He will not. And so we can continually always run to him who is faithful and who has the ability to carry us.
You're right. This salvation isn't the end of our journey into Christianity. It's the beginning. And in order to finish the race set before us, we'll need to remember and cling to our Savior. We'll need tools like prayer, meditation, and we'll need the church. You and I will fail. We can't run this race perfectly, but we'll never be defeated. God promises to finish the good work he began. And you're explaining that. We've got probably a couple minutes to our bottom of the hour break. But living in the tension of his grace, you know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, and his grace abounds in us to abound in every good work. But we can't just sit on the couch of ease and expect to see the kind of fruit, the change, transformation in us and around us. We have to engage with God, and there are battles along the way, right?
Yes. And so I write about this tension between legalism and licentious, and there's a lot of people who think any good work is legalistic. And so they're not going to fight for their faith. They're going to be tempted to think that anything that they do is a sign of them trying to earn favor before the Lord. And it's not actually true. So we need to do good. We need to do good works. We need to do the spiritual disciplines in order to grow and to learn about him, and not to earn favor before him. That work is finished. So we pursue God through his word and through various practices, because we want to know him more, because we want to know the God that we're going to get to enjoy for eternity. And so, yes, there is work to be done in order to continue, and it is not legalism, unless it is legalism, and then we want to repent of that legalism. And he says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to you made a statement in the book. You said you were once a legalist because of selfish ambition. I would love to know how God met you in that place. And I wonder how many legalists in the body of Christ there are because of self-ambition. We want to get it right, so we're taking it to a level that maybe God's not asking of us. How'd you discover grace? What's that look like as it played out in your life? Talking to Trillia Newbell. Her book is Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength. You hear that, friends? Grace and strength. You need them both for a lasting faith. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And we will be back in a minute. This song came into my playlist on Spotify during my prayer time the other morning, and I literally went to my knees and started to weep. Rebuilder, that's been the year it's been for me. God really raising me back up out of the ashes after a health struggle and just putting so many things back together. But I played that song because when we're talking about endurance, sacred endurance, finding grace and strength for a lasting faith, and if you find yourself just feeling dead on arrival, feeling like, I don't know what you're talking about with endurance, I barely can catch my next breath, he's the one who will rebuild you. He's the one who will restore you. And I want you to be encouraged. You don't have to do this perfectly. None of us will. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. But just keep hope on the horizon. He'll finish what he started. Just don't give up, right? That's the thing. Don't give up. Well, I'm talking to Trillia Newbell today, and her book is Sacred Endurance. I love this. I love the title. I also love the subtitle, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith, because that's what you need. Well, we've got 5 copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. You want to enter the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484. So Trillia, you said in the book, it was interesting, it jumped out at me, you said that you used to be a legalist and the motivating factor was self-ambition. Say more about that and how God maybe unraveled that for you.
Yes, I wanted to please people. And so I just felt like in order to please the Lord, to please my dear father, earthly father, to look good in front of others, I just needed to do certain things. And so I think you might be referring to me talking about throwing away all my CDs. I threw away all my CDs when I first became a Christian because I felt like that's what I need to do. I need to throw away all my CDs. And I just did these kind of silly radical things. And if that is done with a heart that's desiring to honor God, I think that's completely fine. But I think I felt like I had to do it in order to honor God. And that's where legalism is. That's where it becomes legalistic. When in order to, you think, oh, this will make me acceptable. And God was so gracious to remind me of scriptures like Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved. And this is not a result of works so that no one can boast. So I could, my ambition, my desire was that I would be the boast and not him. And so God just continually revealed that to me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he revealed my sin, my temptation, what I was doing, and then showed me grace.
Yeah. Well, that's where we change, is when we're in the flow of grace, because that's where the capacity is to really live a life that's disproportionate to who we are, is when we are in the flow of grace. But when we're in the flow of striving, it's a colossal waste of our time, and there really isn't fruit, you know, maybe plastic fruit. And I think it was Arthur Willis who once wrote, "A right act may be robbed of all of its value in the sight of God if done with the wrong motive." Think about that. A right act may be robbed of all of its value in the sight of God if done with the wrong motive. And it goes back to that day of account. God wants to reward our faith. And yet, how much do we do that looks Christian but isn't from faith? And Scripture says anything done apart from faith is sin. I mean, we don't hear sermons about that one too much. But I think there's a reason that God wants us to get in that flow of grace and then out of that live the abundant life. He wants to reward us. He wants to reveal what his life looks like to a world in need. And he wants to transform us. So we miss out on so much of that, don't we, when we're striving in our own strength?
Oh, absolutely. And we miss out on the joy that is available to us as Christians when you're striving. I mean, think about it. Anytime you're slugging through anything, it is typically joyless.
Yeah.
It isn't, you aren't going to be enjoying the Lord and enjoying all his benefits if you are trying to earn it. And he says in Psalm 103, forget not my benefits. And so he wants us to remember the gift it is to know him, the gift it is to receive salvation, the gift it is to be given power because of him through the Holy Spirit. And so I think it just strips all joy. It strips you of the gift, and it is a gift. So it has been, it's a delight when you grow and understand the grace of God.
Amen. You write this: sometimes the race feels almost effortless, as if you could continue indefinitely with a tailwind at your back carrying you forward. But other times, you're hardly moving or even capable of taking another step. Now, we were just talking about when you get into striving, you know, it's not sustainable, it's exhausting, and the fruit isn't great. But there are other times when you're right in the center of God's will, and it's just hard. And I think sometimes we misinterpret, if this is hard, it can't be God. But it is hard, and then maybe it's an uphill climb, and he's training us. Talk about maybe a time from your own life, Trillia, when you were hardly moving or hardly even capable of taking another step. What did you do there?
It was after my second miscarriage. I've had four miscarriages, and after my second one, I remember just laying in bed and thinking, I am in despair. Lord, this is painful. and I can't move. I literally couldn't move. I was so sad and so discouraged, and I was frankly depressed, and the Lord met me. He says that he draws near to the brokenhearted, and he met me in that despair in such unique ways. It wasn't that I was poring over scriptures, although I will say that that's when I met the Psalms, and because I don't think I understood that true lament and sorrow that deeply until those miscarriages. And then, but he met me. I had no strength. I had nothing to give. I couldn't. And he drew near to me. And I realized at that moment, I didn't have to. All I needed to do is just call out to him. And he answered in my distress and in my despair and in my discouragement. And it was mostly just comfort and allowing me to feel the freedom to weep and to be okay with being sad, because I'm typically given to joy. So I learned the meaning of being sorrowful yet always rejoicing. I got it in a deeper way, and it prepared me for more sorrows, more death that we've experienced in our family, and also some of my own health problems, as you have talked about, Susie. So he was preparing me, which he always does, and I've also, because of his grace, been able to comfort with the comfort I received from him. So yeah. I definitely have many times where I haven't felt like I could run. I've had to crawl, and he has met me in those crawling moments.
Yeah, really is an army crawl, isn't it? And really looking back, those are the places where you draw the deepest and most profound strength, because you're so utterly dependent. And thank you, Lord. My next book coming out next in October, it's a 365-day devotional, and the title is Prevail, which means to prove more powerful than your opponent. So just today we got 3 cover samples, and we always send them out to our kids and get their adults, and they're just going back and forth, and they work in like the graphic arts and, you know, advertising field. So they all have really strong and good opinions and whatever. But one of them has a mountaintop on it. And my hubby chimed back in because a couple of the kids were leaning towards that one. And he says, for one, that feels too literal. And he says, two, he says, Mom and I have learned to prevail, not on the mountains, but in the valleys. And he, you know, and I just thought that is just true. It's in the low, low, low places of life. It's where I learned endurance. And what word of encouragement do you have for the person right now who's army crawling, feeling like maybe they lost, you know, it's radio silence, basically. God, the heavens seem silent, and nobody really relates to their struggle. What word of advice and encouragement do you have for them?
There may not be anyone that you feel like relates to you, but Jesus does. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with great grief, and he was tempted in every way. And he does. He relates. He wept. He understands pain. It's hard to fathom that God understands pain, but he does. And he does say in his word that he draws near to the brokenhearted. That is a promise to you. He's going to draw near to you. You may not feel it or hear it, but it's true. He's near you, even if you don't know it. And so I just pray that you take comfort in knowing that God is with you, God is for you, and that these aren't trite things. This is the truth, and that you're okay to lament and to be sad and sorrowful, because he was and he understands. And so so that's my prayer, is that you will sense the Lord's nearness, and that you will cry out to him who does understand completely. And he is desiring to comfort you in your affliction.
Very good. You've got a chapter titled Jesus in the Cloud of Witnesses, based on the passage from Hebrews 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and many of you know that passage, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Talk about that passage and even the idea of Jesus in the cloud of witnesses.
Yes, I love this picture of almost like a cheering on this cloud of witnesses, people who've really gone before us. Because if you read Hebrews 12, you need to read Hebrews 11, and you will see people who endured trials, who were great sinners, who were prostitutes. I mean, people who, all these different lives, and who in God says endured faithful. So one of the things that we can be encouraged about the cloud of witnesses is that these aren't perfect people. These are sinners like you and me, who yet God calls them faithful, and they endured, and they are examples, and they are people that we can look to, which I am so encouraged by. So I thank God for that text, and thank God for Hebrews in general, that book. But also, just when we want to endure, we thank God for the people who've gone before us, and then we fix our eyes on the one who went before us, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so that text in particular is like a calling to endure faithfully, knowing that there have been others who are enduring what you have endured on this earth, and then to fix your eyes on the one who keeps you, who has gone before you, and fix it on eternity. We will one day no longer have to endure. That's really good news. And so we want to fix our eyes on that so that we can continue to run this race.
Yeah, I know there's different theological ideas about this cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
But some really believe that those who've gone before us can see and are interceding. Jesus is interceding day and night, so I don't know why they wouldn't be interceding day and night. And there's enough evidence, I think, in Scripture to make that case. I personally do believe that they are cheering us on from heaven, praying and interceding and seeing it through a redemptive lens for sure. But, you know, you don't have to email me or stop listening to the show if I might be wrong about that. I mean, we see in part and know in part, but what an idea, what a thought, really, if the cloud who've gone before us are interceding and that cloud of witnesses just grows with time as we wait for Jesus to return. I don't know. It's kind of an amazing thought.
It is an amazing thought. And what I believe is that there is a cheering, that there is a cheering on. So whether or not there's intercession, I'm not sure, but definitely, I think, at least from my reading of the text, is that there is something about that cloud of witnesses that's gone before us. There's a reason that they're there. There's a reason that he chose to put it in his word. And so we can be comforted by that, whether we're comforted by the thought of them cheering us on. Or
just their example, just their example is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. It's so significant. And so it's amazing when we think about who God calls faithful. If you really read and study them, it's so encouraging to our faith to keep running, to know that God is not, he is not partial. He loves all. And so it is encouraging as we're enduring, because sometimes we can think, oh, I'm not good enough. And here's the thing, none of us are. Thank God for Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a beautiful thing to think about those cloud of witnesses and those who have gone before us and endured various trials and beatings and have suffered and sinned greatly and fallen and yet kept going. And so I'm grateful for that text for sure.
Yeah, those who've gone before us, either, as we said, it could be just their incredible example, but is that enough even? It may just well be. You look at those who've gone and endured, and some of your own faith heroes, some of mine are Catherine Booth, Harriet Tubman, Corrie Ten Boom. They're examples of how they laid down their lives. They contended for the poor. Their examples inspire me to live a life worthy of the calling. So we're going to pause here for our final break, talking to Trillia Newbell. Her book is Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, the drill, but we've got new listeners all the time, so I never want to assume you know the drill. So here it is. Text the word book, not book exclamation point, not even book in quotations, just the word book. If you don't get a kickback auto response, then you probably did it wrong. So just the word book, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Trillia Newbell about her book, Sacred Endurance. It really is that. Sacred Endurance. Subtitle is Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. And I love the combination of grace and strength. We need both to finish strong. One of the things my hubby and I pray every morning is, Lord, help us last long and finish strong. May we honor you in life and in death. Too many people are fallen out of the race or fallen down in such a way where they don't lose their salvation. They lose their influence. They lose their credibility among their peers because of running too hard at a pace God never sanctioned. And then in those places is when people often fall and make choices they never otherwise would. And we want you to stay in the pace of grace, run the race to win, last long and finish strong. We want that so much for you. And we're talking, Trillia, about the Hebrews 12 passage, about throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Talk, if you would, a bit about the examples of things that may hinder, but maybe that are not sin in themselves.
Yeah, that's a great question. Things that might hinder that aren't sin in themselves. I think this is an interesting one, but sometimes I think we can surround ourselves with, okay, this is going to sound terribly harsh, but people who aren't helping us walk through our faith. Now, how do you throw off a person? You want to be really careful, but if you're like my kids, I tell them to be wise by who they decide to be friends with, because they will be influenced by them. Now, that doesn't mean that we kick them to the curb, but we do need to be wise. And I think Proverbs even talks quite a bit about that. So who we are, what we're influencing ourselves, we're taking in. That can also be things like the internet. I know that right now, especially social media, which I love, I'm on social media quite a bit, but it can hinder my run, my race. I can get caught up in conversations or things that don't necessarily involve me, thus making me a busybody or idle. And so there are things that aren't necessarily sinful that can hinder us. So I think those are just two examples off the top of my head, because those are just the first things that I thought of, but there are many other things that I think can hinder us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can make an idol out of exercise. You can maybe
have
dietary indulgences that you just know you've crossed over the line, where once it was a gift and it was serving you, now you're serving it, because you have, we just know when we're crossing over into things and we're making accommodations for certain things and maybe justifying certain things. And that's the thing, is where that is so between you and the Lord, because what can happen if you're walking through a time where God is calling for like a deeper sanctification and he meets you in that place, you can start to make a legalistic rule. Like, everybody needs to give up cheese pizza because you can't believe how I met God when I gave up cheese pizza, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But that's part of, to me, the sacred race of saying, Lord, everything's on the table. Anything that I've attached too much, making justifications for, he will speak to you about those things, won't he?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great example. There's lots of good things that we turn into bad things because we turn them into idols. Mm-hmm. And I believe my pastor would say some kind of phrase like that, but it's true that we turn good things into bad things pretty quickly, like exercise and fitness, which is a good thing. And the scriptures say it is of some value, but it is not of ultimate value. And once we put that in ultimate terms, then we've turned this good thing into a bad thing, and we have to put off those things that hinder us in our walk. And that turns into sin. That's one of those weights that would turn into a sin that clings close to us. And so we want to put those things off and worship the Lord. And so there's lots of different things that we can, beauty, fitness, just loads of things, healthy eating, that we can turn into idols.
And I think a good way to know if it hinders or if it's turned into sin is, What does it feel like inside if you had to lay it down for a little while?
Yep.
You know, if you start to have the panic, you might just want to look at that. I'm just saying. Well, we've got just a few minutes left. And in your chapter, The Real Christian Life, you tell a story about some friends whose marriage started out idyllic and really they looked like the perfect Christian couple. And they actually had kind of a good life. They did well financially and had their kids, did the carpool thing until things ended up in a full blown crisis. Tell us what happened.
Well, I tell a couple of those stories, and I'm assuming you're talking about when the adultery
in the market crashed. Yes, the market crashed, so they faced a lot of financial hardship, and then he had an affair. I guess my point going to that story is you were saying in the times of peace they were sort of riding the wave. This is my paraphrase of what you're saying, but they weren't really dealing with some of the stuff that really surfaced early on in marriage, because once they went into a time of sort of peace, they left those things alone, but they fester. And when you're tested, those are the very things, access places, I say, when the enemy gets in. So maybe to speak to that whole idea of how we can be shoring ourselves up, especially in times of favor, so we're ready for the times of storm.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. One of the ways is to be in the Word. And so don't neglect God's Word. Go ahead and read about who God is, and we're called to obey His Word, whether it's hard circumstances or no circumstances the circumstances that seem easy. And so learning about who God is and His character, I think, helps us to guard against and to be ready. Kind of like Ephesians 6, we got to put on the armor of God. We want to put it on before we have to fight, right? We want to put it on before we're in the battle. That's where we, so when times are peaceful, those are those times to put it on. Let me tell you, I am so grateful for my college years of being in God's Word. After I became a Christian, I was in graduate school. I ate up God's Word. And as I started getting busier in life and things started, I wasn't able to spend hours reading God's Word, I would still be able to spend time. But that time when I struggled and I had that miscarriage, it wasn't that I was poring over scriptures. God was recalling stuff and words that I had been reading over and over again. He was recalling it to my mind and to my heart when I struggled to open His Word. It was coming to me. And I think that's how we shore up. That's how we put it on now. Don't assume grace and don't assume the gospel. We want to prepare ourselves. And so I believe that is one of the many ways that we can prepare ourselves for times of trial, is by going ahead and memorizing those promises of God now, so that when it happens, we can say it back to ourselves.
I wholeheartedly agree. I say cultivate a fasting life during times of favor. You know, I mean, you even think of Joseph when he shored up during the time of feasting and time of plenty. They were situated and prepared for the times of famine. I think in times of plenty, when you say no to your flesh and make your flesh deal with it, it's super important. And learning how to cultivate a heart at rest. And I'm thinking of Psalm 91:1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow. We've got to know how to access those places when the fires of hell aren't aimed at us. So when they are, we've got practice. We've got some spiritual muscle memory about how to go to those places. And
absolutely.
Yeah, such an important word. Well, we just got a few seconds here. I mean, I'm giving you about 30 seconds to answer this question, but what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5 years ago?
He's faithful. I knew it 5 years ago, but goodness, do I continue to grow in that understanding that God is faithful. He is faithful and good at all times.
That's good. Trillia, so good to talk with you. We've been conversing by email, but it's so fun to talk with you. I wish you God's absolute best in this coming year, and I thank you for the time today.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. Trillia Newbell, her book is titled Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for about another 15 minutes. You want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Shout out to my amazing producers, Kim and Ryan. They're amazing. Did I just say that? They really are. And you, my dear listener.
Thanks for listening to this conversation
from
Middays with Susie Larson.
These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.